Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Now that we have the Affordable Care Act implemented, do we still need free clinics? Apparently so, maybe more now than ever. The Congressional Budget Office estimates that for the foreseeable future, 30 million Americans will remain without insurance. And so while the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act helped expand access to health care and insurance, many remain unaffected. So where are they going to go? Where will they turn? Well, back to the free clinic. Do you use free clinics in San Antonio? Have you used it in your past, or have you served at one as a doctor or a nurse? We'd like to hear about your experiences. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. And you can also email us with your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org or go online to our website and write directly on our webpage at tpr.org. Our guest this half hour, Nicole Lamoureux, is Executive Director of the National Association for Free and Charitable Clinics, a nonprofit focused on the needs of 1,200 member clinics around America, and also Dr. Uzatine, Family Doctor and Assistant Director at the Center for Medical Humanities and Ethics, in addition to providing oversight and advice to the UT Health Science Center's 6 student-run free clinics. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Dr. Richard, let me ask you about San Antonio's free clinics. We have 6 of them. How does that work?
Well, we have a health science center with medical students, dental students, students from a number of health professions, and they all want to get out into the community and make a difference. And so back in 2005, we opened up our first free clinic for people who are traditionally unable to access health care, and now we have 6. We see over 2,300 patients each year. We have approximately 700 student volunteers and about 30 health professional mentors, and we're providing the care for people who otherwise would fall through the cracks.
Are these clinics at the medical center, or are they scattered around San Antonio?
They're all around San Antonio. None of them are at the medical center. They are downtown, uptown, all over.
And how do people know to go to one of these free clinics? How does the word get out?
Well, some of them are very specific. Like, we have one of our clinics, which is at SAM Metropolitan Ministries in their transitional housing village for homeless families. So we go to the homeless families. There are 40 homeless families living there in transition, trying to get back on their feet. And so we will provide health care only for those 40 families that are at that site. And at Haven for Hope, we only provide the health care. Well, I say we should predominantly provide health care to people who are living at Haven for Hope, although actually people in the community can come to that one because it's also in partnership with Centro Med, which is a federally qualified health center. So there are a number of different models that we use, but we don't really advertise, you know, in the newspaper or on the web, because each center, you know, has its own designated population.
So, Nicole Lamoureux, looking back at the national picture, you're with the executive director of the National Association for Free and Charitable Clinics. How are things changed for these clinics with Obamacare coming online?
Well, I think that one of the largest misconceptions that we're seeing is that everyone thinks because of the Affordable Care Act, now everyone has health insurance. And as you stated before, there's still going to be 31 million people that are going to be left behind after the Affordable Care Act is fully implemented. Currently, at this point in time, we haven't seen any of our clinics see a dramatic drop-off in patient demand. In fact, our patient demand over the last 2 years has increased by 40%. So we're still seeing numerous patients come to us with all sorts of disease states. Obviously, hypertension and diabetes are our number 1 and 2 disease states, but we're also seeing people who are coming that are just confused about what the Affordable Care Act means. Do they qualify? Don't they qualify? What happens if they come from a state that didn't expand Medicaid? How do they afford their medication? And what about those parts of the Affordable Care Act that, you know, aren't covered, such as the dental care or even some of the mental health care or the affordability of prescriptions? So at this point in time, our 1,200 clinics across the country have definitely not seen a drop-off in patient need.
Where is this 40% increase in demand coming from?
I think it's coming from a couple of different places. Definitely in the economy still has not taken off in our country. We definitely know that that's not happening. We know that there were employers that are not required as of yet to provide health insurance for their employees. We also know that there are many people that just have either been rolled off of a program, or maybe they're recently retired, but they're not eligible yet for Medicare. We see a large baby boom population that's happening as well. And then again, as I've said before, we're just seeing people who just don't understand what the Affordable Care Act means and don't even know where else to go. So they come to their local free or charitable clinic.
So as you see a 40% increase in patient demand at free clinics around America, what about donations? Have those fallen off because people are just assuming that free clinics are no longer necessary?
We are seeing a 20% decrease in donations that come to free and charitable clinics over the same period, 2 years. And I think part of the challenge is that people don't understand that free and charitable clinics are not federally funded. There is not taxpayer dollars that come into our clinics. We rely very heavily on individual donations and foundation support. And again, I think the Affordable Care Act has caused some confusion in that area. So many of our clinics are doing more with less, and that is why we're grassroots medicine at its finest, where we have students and volunteers and people who want to give back to their communities. And many times we have doctors that will work a whole day at their office or the emergency room and then come to the clinic after their shifts are done to come and help us as well.
Dr. Yuzatin, over at UT Health Science Center's 6 student-run free clinics, are you seeing an increase in demand also?
Well, I don't think we're seeing an increase in demand. I think we're seeing that the demand has not dropped off. You know, Texas is obviously one of those states that did not take advantage of Medicaid expansion. So we have, you know, one of the largest populations of uninsured people, you know, in the country.
It's the largest. It's still 4.3 million people uninsured in Texas.
Exactly. Yes. Well, I wasn't going to exactly say it that way, but you're right. It's the largest, and it's pretty shameful. As living here, I am ashamed that my state is not doing better. I actually had my first job when I finished my family medicine residency at UCLA, working for the Venice Family Clinic, which is actually one of the largest free clinics in the country today. And, it was a wonderful place to start practicing medicine. When I came to San Antonio about 12 years ago, I decided that I was going to open some free clinics, work with our medical students, and create access for people who didn't have access to health care. And it really just took off. We started off with one small clinic, and the students love it. So I think for us, our donors are still funding us. They don't think that the Affordable Care Act is making the difference it needs to, at least in San Antonio and in the state of Texas. So we still have our foundation funding. And the students are having an environment where they can learn to practice compassionate care for people who, you know, don't have the kind of access to care.
Right, they would have no place else to go. We're going to take a quick break. If you got a question or a comment, we're talking about free clinics in San Antonio and across the country, how things are changing with the Affordable Care Act. Demand is up. Donations are down. Something's got to change. Give us a call. We want to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980. Have you ever gotten treatment at a clinic? We want to hear from you. This is The Source at KSTX. Listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Before the passage of the Affordable Care Act, more than 47 million Americans were without health insurance coverage, and the cost of health care was approaching 18% of the gross domestic product. Now, the Affordable Care Act was intended to address these problems, but was never designed to provide universal health care. So we still have people showing up in long lines, going to free clinics looking for treatment because they have no place else to go. We're talking about free clinics in the United States and the need and what the future for them for clinics are. Give us a call if you want to join the conversation. The number is 210-614-8980. You could also email us with your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. So, Nicole Lamoureux, you're the executive director of the National Association for Free and Charitable Clinics. So we're seeing this increased demand. So, but there is still some Medicaid expansion across the country, not in Texas, but other parts. So is that a revenue source that some free clinics can tap into?
Well, there definitely are some changes in delivery models that we're seeing. And I really love free clinics because I think they're really the incubators of thought when it comes to how we deliver medicine to people who need it the most in this country. So we're finding that in some of those states that have expanded their Medicaid programs, these clinics are looking at where do we continue to service the patients that usually come to us. Many times, the patients who have Medicaid cards don't have access to dental care, so we're finding a lot of our clinics are expanding their dental programs. They're expanding their mental health programs. They're expanding their programs when it comes to assistance with medications. And then we're finding other clinics who are developing hybrid models or partnerships with their health department or partnerships where they are becoming on half of their clinic is a hybrid clinic where they see Medicaid patients and then the other half is seeing free clinics and free patients. I think what you're going to find is over the next 3 or 4 years, clinics in all of the states are going to find how they continue to serve the people who need them the most. And then in states that are not expanding their Medicaid program, there's still a great deal of work to do for those people who have no access to those expansion of programs.
But when you have Medicaid and you have people being able to sign up for it, of course, not in Texas, but in other states, then they show up to the clinic and maybe they can pay like a dollar or two copay. But then now the free clinics actually have a way to be more, you know, sustainable, but they're able to tap into people who have Medicaid.
I think it really depends on the clinic's mission and their vision and where they fit into the system as it is now. As I said, many of our clinics are really focusing now on the other aspects of care that have
sure,
been
the stuff that was not covered by Obamacare.
Exactly.
All right.
So you're finding a lot of our clinics are saying, you know, I really need to increase my dental capacity.
But did you have people say they were comfortable with the free clinics? I mean, the free clinics were providing hands-on, one-on-one care for a lot of individuals, and they didn't want to lose it.
Oh, I think
we
patients
heard that
are usually
over
very happy with the care they get at free clinics because the doctors who are there are there because they love to provide the care. They're usually very compassionate and understanding, less likely to judge people for maybe problems that they've had with either mental health or substance abuse. And therefore, we really do have a group of patients who would almost prefer to continue getting their care. Mm-hmm. At a free clinic, but I also would like to underline the importance of getting people their dental care and their mental health care, and those are two areas that we've expanded since we've started our free clinic program, because if you health care is such a problem in terms of providing access, but dental care is even worse. I mean, so few people have dental insurance, and treating an underserved population, a patient population in poverty, the dental problems I see are just horrendous. People with many missing teeth, with terrible gum disease, it's just horrible. And then the mental health problems, we know how that can lead to all kinds of problems in society. And so, yeah, we need to be taking care of all aspects, and the Affordable Care Act is not enough.
Okay, let's go to the phone lines. The number is 210-614-8980. If you've got a question or a comment about free clinics here in San Antonio and across the country, Brett has called in. Brett, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
I appreciate it. Hello, everybody. Two things. I was wondering about the medical providers at free clinics. Are they as high quality as you would get at, the best doctor is, the best hospital in San Antonio? Also, free clinics, would you say that illegal immigrants and migrants would use those free clinics? And also people who may be embarrassed to go to their primary care manager due to a problem. That's what I was wondering. Thank you.
Okay, Brett, thank you for those questions. Thank you for your call. So, Dr. Usatine?
Well, we never turn anyone away based on their citizenship status. We actually run a refugee clinic. So that we are committed to taking care of everyone in Texas, everyone in our community. We don't discriminate based on those issues. We have the best doctors. Our doctors are university doctors. I can't think of a better group of doctors to provide health care And I do think that that was true when I worked in the free clinics in Los Angeles. Some of the best doctors I've ever met are the volunteers at these clinics.
But making it known that you will treat people regardless of their legal status, residency status, then people will know that they can go get treatment and not have to suffer or get worse or infect other people. So is that known?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the best thing we can do for public health, to let people go untreated, particularly, say, untreated tuberculosis, untreated leprosy. I mean, there are all kinds of things that people can come to this country with, and to say, well, you're here and now you can't get medical care is a terrible public health plan.
So, Nicole Lamoureux over at the Free and Charitable Clinics Association, how do y'all check the metrics of how good the care is?
Sure. Well, we have data collection efforts at the National Association of Free and Charitable Clinics. Our members must report to us in order to be a member of us. Number one, number two, disease states. We see how many patients are served at the clinics. We also go straight down to A1C levels. That's for your diabetic taste testing if there is a drop in the A1C levels. We have a state like the state of North Carolina that has very in-depth data collection that happens to make sure that people are getting the care that they need, and we have best practices that our clinics follow. And I would agree and echo that the doctors that are volunteering at these clinics are some of the best providers that I've ever had the ability to know. And I think that what you're finding is that many of the providers say to me, this is how I want to practice medicine. I want to understand the patients that I'm talking to. I want to know their families. And I think that's one of the biggest things that people don't understand is we even have many retired physicians who just don't want to, can't be in practice anymore, but they want to keep giving back to their community.
And how do you protect them with, insurance or malpractice type things?
Sure. There's a couple of different ways. Some clinics purchase their own medical malpractice insurance in various states. I believe Texas is one of them. You have a Good Samaritan or a protection program there. But then the federal government does have the opportunity for some clinics, if they're eligible, to apply for something that's called the Federal Torts Claim Act that will provide protection for providers who volunteer their time at a free or charitable clinic.
Back to the phone lines. John has called in. John, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. Good afternoon. First of all, I would like to thank your guests for their hard work and their interest in helping to provide health care to people who need it. I had survived cancer about 8 years ago, and fortunately at the time I had good insurance. However, as you said, as your guests alluded to, that there I didn't have any strong dental insurance at the time, and I had a lot of radiation of the head and neck. And subsequently, I've had to spend quite a bit of money on dental care, basically over $10,000, and there's still more to come. So anyway, the need for what they're doing, I think, is certainly there, and I applaud their efforts. My question is, when I believe it's Nicole said that there was an increase in demand by about 40%, I wonder how much of that is attributed to obesity. I've noticed so many young people, or people like all young people in their 20s and maybe 30s, that just seem to think it's okay to be really heavy, and they just buy XXL clothes and walk around drinking sodas all day. And it just that's got to be horrible for their health, obviously, and for their future health. And I just wonder, when they do visit the free clinics, is it okay to let them know that, hey, maybe you need to get a grip on this or change your lifestyle? Do those dialogues happen? And do the patients seem to respond to that?
Okay, John, thanks for that question. So, obesity or obesity-related diseases like type 2 diabetes, could that be driving the need for free clinics, Nicole?
Well, I don't think that necessarily it's driving the need for free clinics, but I do think that it's something that we are dealing with in this country. Again, the number one and number two disease states in our clinics are hypertension and diabetes. And, of course, there are people who are obese that come for help with us. And then I think one of the really great things that happen at free clinics around the country is the doctor doesn't just say to the patient, you have to lose weight. There are health education classes, information. Patients get a hold of their health and their weight because someone is helping them through the process. Many times people don't understand what is good or not good for them to eat. Or you have people who are going to be a diabetic and they think if they eat nothing but fruits all day long, they're doing the best thing for themselves. But at a free clinic, a doctor will help them understand you need to have different types of food in your, you know, your diet. And we have education people that are there for them, dietitians, nutritionists. I wouldn't say that it's just obesity that's causing problems, but I would say that the lack of access to health care on all different disease states causes free clinics and emergency rooms and doctor's offices to remain open. And I'm sure that my fellow guest would agree with that.
Oh, I completely agree with that. And one of the things that our students love to do, particularly in their first and second year where they really don't have, you know, full diagnostic and treatment skills, is they love to get involved talking with patients about healthy lifestyles. And they understand issues of nutrition and not smoking and good exercise. And they'll engage with the patients on that, and they'll try to empower them to live a better health style.
All right. Dr. Richard Uzitin, thank you for joining us. He is a family doctor, assistant director of the Center of Medical Humanities and Ethics at UT Hale Science Center, and helps run the free clinics there. And Nicole Lemereau with the National Association for Free and Charitable Clinics. This is The Source on KSTX.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.